McCook City Council recap once again this morning. In our studios for the recap, McCook Mayor Mike Gonzalez in substituting for City Manager Nate Schneider today.
Well, nobody can substitute for Nate, but I am here.
He had some family business to take care of.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think between budget and family stuff, he needs a few extra hours at the office. So.
And Councilman Gene Whedon is here again this morning. Good to see you again.
Good morning.
I asked Gene, okay, who are you substituting for this morning? Nope, it's my turn this morning. All right, guys, second meeting for the council for the month of July. Let's get right to it. Announce anything around announcements, recognitions.
July 27th, we're having a meeting upstairs in the training room at 6 o'clock. It's the land bank. Our city attorney is hosting it. We're invited communities around who want to come and look at being a member of the land bank. So if you're a city official and you'd like to be part of this, please come to our meeting. July 27th, 6 o'clock, here in, upstairs in the training room, the land bank. And then the other thing is, I believe Amanda Slattery Ingalls. Is that okay. She's now
just got married.
Okay. She is the new McCook Economic Development Housing Director, and she was there. And I think Jerry Calvin introduced her. He's really excited about Amanda. He thinks she'll do a great job. And then Chief Joel Smith talked about they've gone through an accreditation process for the part of the police department to do certain things, to get grants and other benefits to hire police officers. And he said it was a rather lengthy process, but he got notification that we have been certified, so we can go ahead and start to do some things with our police department now.
So everything's cool in that area. Cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
good. Good deal. Public hearings.
Well, we had another public hearing last night about voluntary annexation. So the first item we're going to talk about and the last item, is it goes together. So if you go up West 7th, off to the west, there's a little strip of land that the MEDC purchased, and they won that annex to give us access to that subdivision up there that will be developed. And alongside that, just north of the MED, John Knopfnagel has a piece of land, and they decide that it'd be good to get that annexed. So we'll do that, and it takes three readings. So we did the first reading last night. We did the third reading on the other section. So we'll get that opened up, and then hopefully we'll get some housing in there and get that developed.
All right. It's pretty simple as that.
It was.
Consent agenda. You had a few items there. Anything pulled for discussion?
Yeah, I was asked to pull item B because the owner of the property that was in question was there and wanted to discuss it. So I pulled item B. This is a property over on East First Street that was dilapidated, and we tore it down at our expense. And we had asbestos and tear down and dump fees and et cetera, and that amounted to about $27,000. And so this has been levied against the property. And the owner was there just saying she does not have the money to pay for it. And so we discussed it. But on the advice of our city attorney, we went ahead and approved it. But I think down the road, I believe we're going to look at maybe foreclosing on the property like we did on West 4th Street, and then we'd have like a sheriff's auction and then et cetera, and then try and recoup some of the cost of that. Because right now the problem is there's not a clear title.
Right.
There's somebody that's on the names on the title. So if we were to sell it to somebody, there wouldn't be a clear title. And so there's a question about that. So if we foreclosed on it and then had an auction, that would take care of that stuff. So on the advice of our city attorney, we just went ahead and approved that. Okay.
We move on to the regular agenda. And first up, Rose Westcamp request to discuss long-term water distribution system infrastructure upgrades. I think Rose has been one of those individual who's kind of had some concerns over the color of the water, or at her place at least, right?
Right. Our water system is a little old, which all cities go through this. And when there's a change in the pressure, then you get the orange, is that what you call it? Orange water, which is a sediment that's lays in the bottom of the pipe. And once pressure changes, then it starts kind of cleaning that out. And she's concerned about that. But as we discussed last night, there's 5.5 miles worth of water lines in McCook, and they estimated that to change those all out, you're going to have about $80 million. And so that would take a little bit of funding. She had recommended that maybe we do a half-cent sales tax. In 20 years, that will raise $12 million. So it leaves us just a little short. And I did talk to Pat this morning. I said, okay, so Pat, explain how this works. So you put a new water line in, then at every house, they have to dig a hole to connect your water line to that water line. So if you look down the street, how many holes they would dig, that was not included in all that. Plus, when you hook into that line, you probably got an old water line. So you still don't have brand new water service up to your house. And that's going to cost you personally probably about $3,000. And then you go in your house, and if you got any old pipes in there, you got to change that out. And who knows what that would take. So we definitely agree with her. We understand what she's talking about. And that would be monumental to change all the lines out. So when you see that happening, it can be caused by in May when we had a big influx. All of a sudden, everybody's turning on their yards and watering their grass. That changes the pressure quite a bit. Or if there's a fire in town and you don't happen to be on that section of water line, all of a sudden they suck a lot of that through, and it's gonna cause some of that debris. So we definitely appreciate her, and she was invited to come to budget, so maybe she gets to understand about the finance in the city. But I think we deal with this every spring. I know we had it at our house, and we go through it. We just know that it will clear. It just the pressure's changed, and it's going to happen. So,
talk about a major, major project if we ever think about replacing all the pipes around town.
Yeah, $80 million was a
wow
a guesstimate, and that doesn't include then you got to take care of your house. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you still got water going through old pipes, so you could still get discoloration. But it's nice that she come in, and instead of saying, here's your problem, she come in and said, how can I help? Mm-hmm. And so we invite her to the budget. She was, Lori actually from the Gazette said, why don't you come to the budget meeting and listen to what all happens with the city? It's pretty amazing. So
have you known any communities like large like McCook, North Platte, or Lexington, Holdridge ever done that before?
Not that
no.
I know of.
But Pat was mentioning last night that a lot of towns have the same problem with discolored water. Yeah. And, you know, it's the sediment sits in the bottom of the there are cast iron, and like on the east side of town, like some of those pipes are like over 100 years old. That's why we see a lot of our water department people on the east side of town versus the west side, because they're fixing the pipes because they're over 100 years old. And so, yeah, sediment sits in the bottom of the pipe, and then as you increase pressure, it picks up the sediment and brings it through and discolors the water. And so we understand it's a problem, but it's just a major. $80 million would just, I mean.
I don't know what that would do to your water rates. It would be, you'd pay a little bit more.
Yeah. A lot more.
That's not a general item. That's not a general fund item. It's the water department is kind of a business by itself, so it'd have to pay for it.
Well, it's an enterprise fund.
It's an enterprise fund, so you would pay a lot.
Interesting, very interesting. All right, next up, discussion regarding a potential ballpark.
Well, there's been talk about a ballpark out west of town. A person has purchased some land and wants to donate the property to the city, and has made a pledge of so much money to the ballpark, and with other entities giving money, pledging money, it's looking like the project could be between $15 to $20 million. But as Nate was telling us last night, we're about $5 million short.
Just $5 million.
So,
that's all.
So it's $5 million short. So the option would be to look at, okay, so right now, and then this will tie into the next item, Rich, on the agenda, which is the pool. And then the next item is, how do we pay for this? We're talking about maybe looking at, instead of a new ballpark out west of town, maybe making improvements to the JC complex. We need new fences. We need maybe put in artificial turf instead, because it's constantly being used. New restrooms, new announcer booth.
Lighting,
etc. So maybe have two options. Option A would be a new ball field out west of town, or option B would be make improvements to JC complex. Right now, we just got renewed our contract with the county fair board for 20 years. We need to have a discussion with them. what are their plans for JC Complex. If we're going to put money into the JC Complex and then down the road they're going to want that land, it's not a good investment. So maybe we need to look at a longer lease, et cetera. So Nate just wanted to get our opinion about the ballpark. What do we want? Option A, option B, et cetera. So we'll talk more about it in just a little bit here too then.
Okay. And you move ready to move on the ballpark now to the pool, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, they're kind of all called tied together. We've been talking about a lot of recreation. You know, we have a wellness group in McCook that's been kind of pulling together and talking about this. G and I both have been going to those meetings, and the swimming pool has been in discussion for probably 7 years, I think. You know, we started on this, and then we ended up paying for the new building, and that really put some financial hurt. So we kind of had back off for a couple of years. We're getting ready to go again, and then this little thing called COVID hit, and it kind of delayed it again. But last night, this is a big one, that the council actually gave its blessing to go for a new pool. So we're estimating it's going to be around somewhere around $6 million. And we actually had applause last night. We did a vote. People in the audience applauded. I don't know in 13 years if I've ever seen that. But there's been a lot of volunteers, a lot of people on the committee, lots and lots of discussion. But the committee had made a recommendation on Design 3 Plus, which if you haven't seen it, doesn't mean a lot. I think it was in the Gazette. So the council accepted that last night. And we're ready to move on, and it's going to be $6 million. That will be something that the public will decide. That's not a council decision. It'll go to the public, and if they want to have a new pool, they're going to have to mark yes on the ballot. And if they don't want it, maybe it'd be a good day to be on vacation or something.
So, but the decision has been made.
It was decided last night, so we're very excited that we're ready to move on this. And it's just, it's amazing. We did a town hall meeting, that's how this all came about, talking about this, and the people got up and said, but, you know, we need ballparks. We need walking trails. We need pickleball. We need, you know, it's just amazing the things that people were wanting. Some of it's been resolved. The pickleball people went out and they did their own fundraiser, which is great. That's a really great thing. The council gave their blessing to use the park. The hospital's really been working on the walking trail. The ballpark people got together, and now the swimming pool is coming to a point where actually we can put it to the public and see what they want.
That leads us to the next item, which is how do you pay for this? So what city staff is looking at is raising our sales tax by half a cent, which we can do. Right now we're up 1.5 cents, and we could raise it to 2 cents.
Gene, I lost your microphone there a little bit. There we go.
Okay.
There, I'm back. You're okay.
Okay. How do we pay for the pool? So the city staff is looking at what we call a recreational bond, which means we would ask the voters for their approval. Do you raise it a half a cent? And is it still on?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
I'm blaming everything on the heat, Gene. Everything in life right now is blamed on the heat. So,
yeah. Well, the question is, do you do this for 10 years or do you do it for 20 years? I think, what is it, Mike? City staff has estimated that if we do it for 20 years, that would be like $12 million. And then, so what would happen is that if we did the recreational bond, then we could say, okay, our first priority with the recreational bond is pay for the pool. And then the next option would be then we could use that money then to make improvements at JC Complex, if that's where we want to go. Do we want to go to a new ball field out west of town? We also got other, you know, parks. We've got Barnett Park that we need to make improvements on. So maybe the recreational bond is the way to go. So basically city staff just asking us last night for our okay to move ahead, and they're looking at that. So right now the question is, do we do it for 10 years or do we do it for 20 years?
We looked at a restaurant tax, but it doesn't generate enough funds. And it would confuse the issue because now you'd have the city sales tax, plus you'd be asking people to do a restaurant tax. So that'd be increasing two taxes. So it really comes down to the number of years the council or the citizens would be willing to do. You know, if it's 20 years, you could do multiple projects, and then still there's other projects out there. You know, we've got interactive playground. There's so many projects going on right now. And at some point, the school has said, look, our junior high building needs some help, and they'll be coming to the public. So there's a lot of projects out there, which is great that McCook is wanting to move forward instead of sitting here and let the thing fall to pieces.
But all this will be taken to the voters in November and for their approval. So
it's going to be interesting to see when November gets here, huh?
Yeah, it will be. So hopefully it passes because we need to move forward on a lot of things. So
yeah, this would have been a great year to have a pool. I felt so bad. I said, guys, if I went down, this weather is going to be like this, you know. But I guess there's really nothing we could do. The pool had pretty much seen its last service.
So on the choices of the pool, which pool structure you went, the ones that you thought would go through?
Well, it's got the six lanes. It's got the, what's the floating thing? Then?
Lazy River?
Lazy River. It's got an area to where it's a zero entry. There's some structures that will be in that. And then what was the slide? Wedgie slide.
Yeah.
It's got some wedgie slides. So the slides don't actually go into the water. They go into a trough. And so when you come down, they go into a trough. You stand up and get out. And part of that is you don't have to have a lifeguard at the bottom then.
Okay.
To dumps in the water, that's another staff member. I really appreciate the fact that the committee is saying, okay, not only do we have to build it, we got to be able to afford to run it. Mm-hmm. So what can we do to operate? And then it would have a new changing area, new bathhouse.
Right. Yeah. Right. We're looking at right now with the historical, the bathhouse, you know, how much of that can we keep, or, you know, or do we tear it down? So right now we're working with the Historical Society, I think, or whatever, right, to look at, you know, how much of that bathhouse do we need to keep, and et cetera. So the pool committee gave us two options, and they picked, this is option, our best, what we want is option three plus, which is the $6 million. The second one was $6,400,000, and so they picked the cheaper one. Thank you. But so we approved that last night.
So gone are the days of diving boards and stuff like
that. No, they still have diving boards.
This says we'll have a diving
board. In the six lanes, you'd still have the 12 feet at the end. You'd still have the diving boards. And that's all part of it. So when the diving boards go in, of course, when you use the diving boards, you got to rope off the deep end, and then you'd be done with the lap swimming. So you'd still have a pool similar to what the one section is, to where they could do lap swimming and diving and all that still included. So I think one of the earlier ones had eliminated some of the lanes and had a diving. They all had diving boards. This just has two diving boards.
Mm-hmm.
So
no high dive. Huh?
No high dive. No.
Man, those were the days back in the McCook swimming pool and the high dive over there.
I think a lot of kids lost their teeth when they go on the high dive.
It was not fun doing a belly flop on that thing. That for sure.
Yeah,
that was not fun at all.
Well, because of the angle of the pool,
yeah,
you know, you could actually reach out there and hit the water and go into the bottom of the pool. So that wasn't a safe thing.
Yeah, that's true. All right, come November, voters will have a chance to
correct.
Right.
Vote we on. Have to have this to the county by, I think, the end of September, and then it can be put on the ballot, and then they'll vote in the general election in November, whether yes or no.
Okay. We move on, and we're talking about an ordinance that provided the annexation of a tract of land north of R Street along West 7th Street. Is that right?
Yes, this is the McCook Economic Development piece of property that they want annexed into the city. Mayor Gonzalez talked about it earlier. It's on the west side of West 7th Street. This is the third and final reading, so this has been annexed into the city. And then along with this and then the North Nagle property, this will complete... this will tie all that land in the north. What's it called? North.
I don't know.
Well, North Project, the north of the Q Street. Yeah.
Right.
North Point. Land. So, what that means is now is that with this, when we annex all of this land on West 7th Street, then we can the McCook Economic Development can apply for TIF money to help us put infrastructure, streets, water, sewer in, and also because the fire department and police department always want two entrances to a place. And so a lot by annexing this in, this gives us an east entrance, and then we can have a south entrance. So hopefully then this can be developed into properties that we can build houses on. Right now I think there's like 25 lots. So this is the North Point. This is something that will be developed by the McCook Economic Development Corporation.
That ties back to item one with Amanda, so it gives her something to do. She's going to be able to work to develop that. So infrastructure was estimated about $1.2 million, but it does open that up, and we're excited to see it. It'd be great. McCook has needed additional housing.
Council comments.
First of all, we wanted to wish Leanne Doak a happy birthday. It was her birthday yesterday. Unfortunately, she didn't bring us cupcakes, so I don't know why. But
what is wrong with her?
I don't know. So anyway, it was her birthday, so we wish her happy birthday. And then Darcy wanted to thank Pat Favre and the water department. He saw them working out in the heat and thanked them for the job they've been doing fixing broken water mains. So
right in front of his new business. So it's right – the one that we used to give him a bad time about is you go down, turn off of B Street on the 10th, there was one right there, and it's like – boy, the traffic comes off of B Street so fast. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys are out there, and they're in that hole. It's pretty dangerous, but they do. I think they had four breaks going at one time. It's just amazing what happens. Yeah, and we do want to wish Leanne a happy birthday. I said we didn't ask her age, and we won't give it out. So, but give me a call. I happen to know it.
You're gonna get yourself in trouble, Mike.
We graduated together, so we're pretty close.
There you go. So on the water main break, is it any clue on why this is all happening?
They just happen. When you change the pressure like that.
Okay.
And when Pat did say, when they're talking about replacing, instead of going and patch, and they do take out a section and they put new line in, otherwise they're probably going to be back. You know, it's weakened. They're probably going to be back fixing it again. So, but four at one time is really tough, especially in this heat. You know, they're out there digging that, and they don't get good conditions. It's either freezing cold or super hot for them.
And speaking of the water, I know Pat sent out a notice of release last week on the on what I was thinking was going to be water restrictions. It's kind of sort of that way. It's a different
stage one.
It's stage one. So you can't help but think if we don't get any rain and it continues, like Gene said, 100 degrees for the next 2 weeks, it's going to have something, aren't you?
Yeah. I would expect at some point you're going to see some restrictions put on, which...
What do you say, 4 million gallons a day?
Yeah.
We've gone higher, but right now we're averaging like 4 million gallons a day, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They have it set. There's a protocol. When it hits so many gallons, then that triggers your warnings or your restrictions. You know, those tanks have to be able to recover at night, and... if they can't recover, then we're all in the world of hurt. So
it's not that we're short of water. It's that it puts so much pressure on the equipment that it wears it out, and then the equipment is so expensive. I mean,
Got to spend money to replace it.
Well, yeah, we used some of the pandemic money, $500,000 for the waste treatment, the poop. Yeah. Well, the thing is,
you're right, Gene.
That's what it is.
What do you do with that? That liquid stuff when it gets done. As Nate was sent us an email, he said in the past, what happens is farmers would take that and put it on their field. But I think the government is saying you've got to disc it first and then put it on the field, and then farmers don't want to do that. And so, trying to find farmers that will take that liquid remains is limited. So now what we did, we spent $500,000, and it sucks all the water out, so you have now a dry compound, and farmers can come in and get it and then put it on their fields, and they don't have to disc, etc. So but that's just an example. I mean,
or it can be put in the landfill.
Yeah, or we can put it in the landfill. I mean, we've got things down there at the waste that turn constantly. They'd never shut off for how many years? Since the 70s, and they're $1 million a piece, and the only way to get them out is we're at the roof and have a crane and lift it out that way. You can't. I mean, the waste treatment plant runs 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
your quality of water come in, it has to be a certain quality. When it leaves, it has to be a certain quality. So it's amazing all the treatment of water we do.
We just get a good some rain around here. A lot of these problems will be solved.
Right.
Well, somebody said the fair is here, so that should help us with the rain.